We're kicking off Advent season. We're really not at Christmas yet. Christmas is right around the corner. Advent is this season of preparation. It's a season of awaiting the arrival of what God is going to do. And it's this unique season where we're joining with the ancient Israelites as they looked for the first arrival of Christ. For centuries, they looked ahead and remembered the promises that one day a Messiah would come. And for many dark generations, they waited and waited and waited. But we also join with the centuries of Christians. Thank you, my dear. As they are, and we are now looking forward to the second coming of Christ. It's really a unique event that this Advent season of awaiting, longing the arrival in two different senses. So with that juxtaposition of different thoughts, we enter this Advent season and not yet Christmas. We're not yet celebrating the arrival. We're in this season of longing for the arrival. So with that tension, let's pray together. Lord, we admit that we are people who often jump ahead. Often are looking to what's to come and wishing it here. We ask, Lord, that during the season of Advent, you would allow us to linger in this season of waiting and anticipation. Allow us to connect with some of the emotions that come with that, that sometimes we don't allow ourselves to be in. Allow us to think about the days of loneliness, the days of darkness, the days of wondering, and push us, Lord, deeper in to a contemplation of what it means when you finally break forth and arrive. And Lord, we recognize that we need to be prepared. We need our hearts prepared. So we invite you to do a work inside of us that creates within us a hunger for you, a desire for you, and a willingness to do the search, the looking for you that's required. Use these scriptures, these 4 weeks, to open our understanding and drive us deeper. We pray in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, the past 3 days, I attended a community theater over in Fauston. The play was Annie. Jaden was part of the cast. And the whole message of Annie is an orphan girl who's longing for parents, who's saddened by the fact that she's been left behind and her parents are nowhere to be found. She eventually gives up the waiting and goes searching for them. In many ways, that relates to our season we're in right now. We are in a sense, left. We're, in a sense, wondering where parents are. We're, in a sense, longing to find who it is we're looking for. You and I were made to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. Without that relationship, we're missing and we're left longing for what's supposed to be. The problem is, sometimes we get so caught up in the things we can see and so distracted by the busyness and affairs of our world that we forget to look, we forget to search, we forget to draw near. So I invite you to be people who are drawing near to the Lord Jesus Christ during this Advent season. To start us off on this, I want us to look at what Jesus had to say about his second coming. Towards the end of Matthew, there's numerous accounts, numerous things Jesus said to prepare his followers for the fact that Jesus was going to come back, that he was going to appear again. Matthew 24 and 25 are full of these stories. We'll read just a portion of it, starting at Matthew 24, verse 36. But I want you to recognize we're in a larger context here. In fact, before the section we're going to read, there's stories of destruction coming. There's stories of false Christs appearing, where things are going to happen in the heavenlies, and things are going to happen in the city of Jerusalem, where it's going to be wiped out and destroyed, not one stone left on another. There's accounts of Jesus saying he's going to appear in the skies. But the question is when. And maybe that's gone through your mind. When is this going to take place? When are you coming, Lord Jesus? When will this temple be destroyed? But more importantly for us, when will your second coming actually appear on the horizon and us see you coming in triumph? Let's start reading at verse 36 of chapter 24. Jesus saying, "But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field. One will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." My friends, expect the unexpected. Be prepared for the unexpected. Keep watch. Be alert. Be ready. We anticipate the arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it's two levels. Yes, we're going to celebrate Christmas. Yes, we're going to celebrate that he came in the past and he came as a child. He came as a human to be with us, amongst us, taking our place. But we also celebrate and anticipate the arrival that's about to come around the corner when he's coming for the second time to establish all of his righteousness and his justice. When he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We celebrate that Christ is on the way. If you want to learn how to speak Greek, you can say the word parousia. Parousia. You say that today, you could feel like you're a sophisticated, educated, biblical scholar. Parousia is the word Jesus is using here about his appearing, his arrival. It's right around the corner. And we anticipate it, but we need to be ready for it. We need to be preparing our hearts for it. So God's judgment is part of this message. Isn't it interesting that Advent leading up to Christmas, a time of great joy, and here we are talking about judgment? Judgment, that's a negative thing, isn't it? Or maybe we need to reclassify judgment and recognize that judgment is actually the announcing of God's plan, the announcing of God's work, the announcing of God, that God is doing something to restore and correct. And judgment is actually a cause of joy. Judgment is a cause of joy when you know that you're ready for his arrival. So Jesus splits these two messages in half, the coming judgment and destruction of the temple and the whole city of Jerusalem, and his coming in the future, his second coming, when the whole earth is destroyed in different ways and rebuilt, and we have a new heaven and a new earth. These two messages are like different focus of a lens, as a person is looking at something close and then something far, something close and something far. We focus on what God did in the past, in the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem. We focus again on what's coming in the future. And in focusing on these two, we learn the lessons and we prepare our hearts. Notice he uses an interesting introduction to this. No one knows about that day or that hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. He had just spent the preceding paragraphs talking about learning the times and being observant to when trees are budding so you know spring is coming, and when you see these things happen, you know the end is near. So he's giving us a message of getting ready, anticipating, looking ahead, being alert, being aware of what's going on, but yet also warning us you won't know exactly when it occurs. We're to be paying attention, but also recognizing we're not going to nail it precisely. If you've noticed throughout history, there have been numerous people that have tried to predict precisely when his arrival will be, and so far the percentage of success is hovering right around zero. But we should be anticipating that one day it will happen. And the more things we see lining up, the closer it is. But exactly when, we don't know. And so our message is, be ready all the time. Be ready always. It's interesting that he links his coming to the time of Noah. As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be the coming of the Son of Man. The time of Noah was a time of destruction. It's interesting how we use Noah and the ark as almost a child's story. We actually decorated my oldest son's bedroom in the Noah motif, ark and animals and a few people. But when you think about it, what's being communicated there, he's surrounded by this border of Noah and the flood, is that destruction is coming. The anger of God is being poured out. Everyone's going to be wiped out except for a few. I don't know if it caused nightmares for him or not, but it ought to cause nightmares for you and I as we realize God is so holy, so just, so perfect that sin is not allowed in his presence. He was so angry at those people who turned away from him, he brought the flood that destroyed most of the world, except for those he kept safe in the ark. The analogy is for us now to see us as the few, us as the few that are called into the ark of protection, the body of Christ, the congregation of believers, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The ark is us coming in and saying, Lord, we need to be rescued. We follow you. We obey you. You call. We come running and we grab everyone we can to come with us and maybe an animal or two. And we enter into the sanctuary you've prepared and told us to build according to your instructions. We enter the church so we might be in this relationship with you. But not everyone ran into that first ark. And not everyone is running now into the ark of the church. So there's these mixed feelings going on. We're thankful for the call of God to enter into safety, and we're saddened by the fact that so many are not paying any attention. And we wonder, are we getting caught up with the concerns of the world? Are we having our attention drawn to different things? Or are we heeding the call? Are we listening? Are we drawing near? See, that's the message that he's talking about here when he uses the Noah illustration. It's not how sinful the people were, it's how distracted they were. As it was in the day of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. Those aren't bad things. Those aren't sinful things. Those aren't the things that we hear about in the other accounts of how bad the people were before the flood came. These are simply good things that can be distractions. Now, I know you're not distracted. Not one of us is prone to ignore the deeper truths as we're caught up in the urgent things. Are we? Maybe that's why for centuries the church has set aside 4 weeks of awaiting the arrival. For we know that we so desperately need to be called back to attention, back to look at what really matters, to not get caught up in the things that are swirling around us, whether they're good or evil, but to be having our focus heightened, our focus tuned in as we look for what God is up to. These people were distracted, unaware that something was about to happen, unaware that the flood was arriving any minute. He goes on after using the analogy of the flood and of Noah's time to talk about two more situations. He says in verse 40, two men will be out in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Out in the field? Many of you spent many hours in the past month or so out in the field. A good thing to be doing. But it's possible to be hard at work and totally unaware that right around the corner is the judgment time, the end time, the arrival time. Verse 41, two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. Grinding with a handmill, that's working at a bakery, I think. That's getting things ready to be put into the oven after they're mixed up and sifted and the right things added. That's the common tasks that a person might be about in an ordinary day. But the scripture is saying that whether it's men in a field or women grinding grain, it's that something important is about to happen. Are you aware of it? Are you ready for it? And then one last analogy is that of a thief appearing. Verse 42, therefore, keep watch because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known on what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready because the Son of Man will come at an hour and you do not expect him. There's a big difference in that analogy versus our situation. When the thief comes, there might be dread. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes, for those of us who are watching and ready and longing for it, it's not dread, it's ecstasy. It's excitement, it's joy. It's something that we are longing for, wishing for, having our hopes set on. The arrival of the Lord Jesus Christ in His second coming, while there is definitely a judgment dimension to it, while there's definitely a dread that should occur for those who are not wanting it, not ready for it, not prepared for it, for us, it's the joy, the ultimate joy. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Maybe you could think of it as someone who's longing for the arrival of their parents or like Annie, or maybe you could reverse it for a young family wondering when the baby's birthday will come. Rita and Nathan celebrated their fourth child this past week. We're wondering when his arrival would be. Weren't certain when it would be. Last Sunday here, she was walking around and I happened to notice she was slightly pregnant. And I said, when's the baby due? And she said, oh, he was due 2 weeks ago. We don't always know when the birthday will come. But there's joy, great joy when that day arrives, as God's blessing of a child comes upon a family. So much greater is what we're talking about today, the arrival day of the Lord Jesus Christ. When all of His promises are fulfilled as He wraps things up and ushers us into His embrace. As we long for Christmas and we celebrate that a incarnation occurred, that God took on flesh and came and lived amongst us, as we think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, celebrate that He was a baby, we also are looking forward to the fact that He is coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, as Master Ruler, the Sovereign Lord of everything, the one who meets our needs who cares for us, who ministers to us. Are you ready? The essence of this passage is, are you ready? Are you looking for it? Are you preparing your hearts for it? Are you hard at work and distracted? Or are you in the midst of a season of preparing your heart? It's like a watchman who's on guard, standing at his post, vigilantly scanning the horizon, looking for what God is going to be doing. So judgment and joy, destruction and restoration, they're all wrapped up in this season of Advent. Judgment is good. Judgment is in the hands of an only wise God. Judgment is when God brings justice to the widow and the orphan, to the oppressed. Judgment is when the rights and wrongs that are done to the weak and the marginalized are made right. Judgment looks at the death of the unborn child and says no more. Judgment looks at the refugee left to die by those who would offer no shelter and says this will also end. God's judgment looks into the world broken by sin and death and evil and states firmly, this will not stand. God's judgment looks out at the broken and bleeding world and at our broken and bleeding hearts and says, this darkness, this exile, will be defeated and the good put to right. God's judgment is terrible, for it condemns not only the systemic evils that run rampant in our world, but also the evil that's in our hearts. But God's judgment is beautiful. For in the midst of condemning evil and sin, this justice brings forth great mercy for the sinner, for the evildoer. The coming of the Son of Man. Those words strike fear and terror in some, but also great joy. They cause us to take seriously God's command. Jesus' words, keep watch. Keep watch. Do not be caught unaware, for your King is coming in holy justice. So Advent is a season of anticipation. We await the final coming of the Son of Man, the final Advent when the resurrected King enters his kingdom, bringing justice and goodness. The incarnation, the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, has begun this final arrival of God's light into our world filled with darkness. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we need your help in order to be alert. We need your help to be awake. Whether we're working in the field or grinding at a handmill, Lord, there's so many things that need our attention, we're required to do, and they absorb us, Lord. Would you give us grace to look up, grace to tune our ears, grace to pay attention? Would you enable us, Lord, to be set free from the things that are binding us in this world and to look up to what you have in store for us? We're needy. We need you. And Lord, even the good things can wrap us up so tightly that we have no margin left for you. Thank you that this season has concerts and plays and Christmas programs. Thank you that there's cookies and special treats. Thank you that there's decorating that gets done. All that is good, Lord, but allow us, please, in the midst of all of it, to truly connect with you. Lord, thank you for using the imagery of Noah and the flood. And thank you that at that time, while the world was ignoring you, one man walked with you. If that was true then, Lord, it could be true now. Let us be like Noah. Let us be men and women, boys and girls, who in the midst of craziness are walking with you, listening to you, heeding your call, obeying what you say, communing with you, looking for what you've got planned. Allow us to be the people who can speak the word of peace, the word of joy, the word of focus. Thank you, Lord, that you came as a baby. Thank you that you're coming again as a triumphant, conquering commander. Thank you, Lord, that you are coming with judgment that brings mercy to those who are watching. Lord, we don't want to be like those who are totally caught off guard. We don't want to be like those who are left. We want to be those who are wrapped up in your embrace. So use this season of Advent to prepare us for your arrival. We ask in Jesus Christ's holy name. Amen.